From there, we're going to jump into the 18th chapter of John's Gospel. Now, this is close to the end of John's Gospel. So Pilate has Jesus in his house and arrested. They're at the headquarters. Then Pilate entered the headquarters again, summoned Jesus, and asked him, "Are you the king of the Jews?" Jesus answered, "Do you ask this on your own, or did others tell you about me?" Pilate replied, "I'm not a Jew, am I? Your own nation and the chief priests have handed you over to me. What have you done?" Jesus answered, "My kingdom is not from this world. If my kingdom were from this world, my followers would be fighting to keep me from being handed over to the Jews. But as it is, my kingdom is not from here." Pilate answered him, "So you are a king?" Jesus answered, "You say that I am a king. For this I was born, and for this I came into the world, to testify to the truth. For everyone who belongs to the truth listens to my voice." Friends, this is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. I had thought that I might give you a choice between the easy sermon and the hard sermon today, but I've decided I'm not giving you the choice. These passages, the exhibition of the kingdom of heaven to the world, is not easy. You heard it in the children. They like a God who gives do-overs, but they're not really that good at giving do-overs themselves. And that kind of sums us up pretty easily, doesn't it? We like it when God is wonderful and gracious to us, but we're not very good at being wonderful and gracious. We have these two passages that I selected in May, April. And I love this Samuel passage because I can almost hear Samuel reading them the list. You know what a king's going to do? This is what a king is going to do. And I almost hear him several books, because you know how the kings of Israel are, right? We have Saul, and he's kind of nuts. I mean, the descriptions have him chewing on the furniture. And then we have David, and sometimes David's up here, and sometimes David's down here, right? And then we have Solomon, who asks for wisdom and then has 700 wives. And then after that, we sort of lose track, don't we? Because they seem to have about two good kings, and then it goes to heck in a handbasket. And I almost hear Samuel coming out of the woodwork when we're down with a Jeroboam or a Rehoboam or a Rehoboth or one of those other kings going, "I told you so!" Because the list is long of what a king is going to do. A king is going to take your sons and send them to war. A king is going to take your daughters and make them work inside the palace. Notice there's an underthread to both of those that Samuel doesn't say what the final line of that is going to be. That if your sons go to war, some of your sons aren't going to come home. And if your daughters go to the palace, your daughters may not come home either. And the king is going to take things from you. Now, there's two things that Samuel was doing by reading this list. Samuel is reiterating exactly what a king will do. We'll take the best of everything you have, your first 10% off the top of your crops, of your flocks, of your field, of your store, of your cash. There's an undertone there. The king is going to take everything that you are supposed to be giving to God. What is happening when the people ask for a king is that they are saying, we'd rather have a human in charge than God. You hear God say that to Samuel. It's they're not rejecting you, Samuel. It's just me. It's just me they're putting aside like they've done every day since I brought them out of Egypt. It's nothing new here, Samuel. I'm sorry you got sucked into it, Samuel, but these people, they're kind of troublesome. They're kind of quarrelsome. The people in Samuel are saying, we believe that our nation is more important than our faith. Because we would rather put the king of Israel in charge of us than the God who made heaven and earth and everything in between. I'd like to tell you we're over that, but we're not. I walk my dog every morning and every evening, and a lot of times in the early evening and in the late evening. I walk the dog a lot. And I go through my neighborhood and I see signs about the Ten Commandments as the moral foundation of America that have a beautiful eagle flying over the Ten Commandments and red, white, and blue like feather things. I'm not really sure how that's supposed to work. I've never seen an eagle that's red, white, and blue. And I hear Marlene Schiruta in my head going, but why couldn't that be the greatest commandment? To love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your strength, with all your might, and your neighbor as yourself. I hear Marlene say that a lot. And it sticks. And I think in doing that, we have managed to say that our country is more important than our God. And then what happens in Charlottesville happens. And I know that we're saying that our country is more important than our God. I'm a historian. You guys know I'm a history junkie. How many national monuments, statues, and things like that do you think there are to Benedict Arnold that name him on them? How many? I think there's one. One. How many statues do we have to Robert E. Lee in this country? Because that's what this protest in Charlottesville was about. It was taking down a statue to Robert E. Lee, who, if you may or may not know your history, was a West Point grad, who was a commissioned officer in the United States Army when he tendered his resignation to fight for a separatist nation. Why is that statue okay? I have friends who went to this march as clergy who were terrified because they were inside a church singing and there was a mob outside with torches. And if you remember your history, it hasn't even been 100 years since there were mobs outside of worship houses with torches breaking into them. Where does it say in the gospel that we serve the nation? John's gospel grabbed me again this week. I'm not a king from here, Jesus says. This isn't my place. This isn't my territory. This isn't my town. You say that I'm a king. And, you know, Pilate's trying to paint him into a corner. You caught that, right? You're the king of the Jews, right? Just the Jews. Just like this tiny backwards people who've been conquered by Rome, and I'm the Roman governor, so you're just the king of, like, Podunk. Don't you want to be the king of Creole Springs? Come on, you know you do. I'm not from here. I came for a purpose, Jesus says, to bear witness to the truth. That's not kingship. That's not political language. That's gospel language. What is the truth? I'm going to ask you to go back again to June 4th, okay? The kids, the prayers. Gayla, what did we pray for this last year? Everything. We prayed for, well, Miriam and Peregrine and occasionally Benjamin and Tricia. We prayed for people's animals. We prayed for people who are sick and people who are hurting. We prayed for people in earthquakes and tornadoes and disasters. We prayed for Wills because, as it said, he hurts himself a lot. We grieved loss in our prayers. We prayed for Malawi and Tanzania and Zambia. We prayed for Haiti. We prayed for places with earthquakes, tornadoes, typhoons, deluges, floods. We prayed for South Market Street. It floods a lot. I don't remember us ever saying we're praying for everybody but them. Do you? Because the gospel we pray and the God we worship is huge. Is colossally large. And cannot fit in this building. Cannot be constrained by our polity or our theology or our doctrine. I'm Presbyterian because we know God was a Presbyterian. But we also know I'm joking. We believe in a God who is big enough to create everything that we can see. And a lot of things we can't see. We believe in a God who is who made the moon and the planets and the stars that are going to be revealed next Monday when it gets dark in the afternoon. We're going to be able to see things we couldn't otherwise see. And we believe in a God who has enough grace and love and forgiveness for do-overs. For do-overs for Peter. You guys remember Peter, right? For patience for Thomas. You guys remember Thomas, right? How much patience does it take for Paul? How much forgiveness does it take for Paul? How about us? We're kind of slow sometimes, aren't we? We believe in a God who is big enough to forgive everything we do wrong and to continue loving us. There is no place in that gospel for the conduct at Charlottesville. There is none. One of our Sunday school classes has just finished up reading the Barman Declaration. And it's powerful stuff. Barman is powerful, powerful stuff. Because it stipulates something and then it does something we almost never do in the mainline church. It comes out and says, we reject the false doctrine. We reject the false doctrine as though there is anyone we owe our allegiance to other than Jesus Christ. So, here's the question. How is it that we put the kingdom of heaven on exhibition for the world to see? How is it that we do that? I mean, we're good at this worship thing, but not everybody's here. We're short about 7 billion people from our weekly worship attendance. We'll get there next week. I have no fears. We'll get there next week. So how is it we show the kingdom of God to the world? Tim, where do we need to go? Where is God asking us to go, right? That was Sunday school this morning, Acts 8, the Ethiopian eunuch. Where is God asking us to go? What about the way too many people who are coming to town next weekend? You know, they're not from around here. They don't know how we do things around here. They might have some rude surprises in store for them. Or they can get greeted by the gospel. Now, I want you to imagine for a moment that what is coming to our region next weekend is not an eclipse in the sky, but a rally of neo-Nazis coming to Carbondale. How is it you expect me to be in the world? And how is it you expect yourselves to be in the world? How do we exhibit the kingdom of heaven to the world in that environment? Are we going to just like post pithy stuff on Facebook? I'm really good at pithy stuff on Facebook. Am I going to lose my job if I go to a prayer rally at that site because it's too close to political around the gospel? Or is that where you expect me to be? These are big questions because ultimately this is what the church is about. And we have choices about whether or not we're willing to be faithful to that calling. We are going to drop the ball. I guarantee it. We are going to drop the ball. We are going to get it wrong. We are going to fail at our witness to who God is and how God is in Jesus Christ. We will have another chance. And God will give us do-overs. Are we willing to show that grace to the world? Are we willing to stand in harm's way for the gospel? Are we willing to echo the words of Barman and say, we reject the false doctrine that because of who your parents were, you are not beloved by God? And are we willing to do it out loud, like outside the sanctuary, like off the property? Because, you know, they might say something about those liberal Presbyterians. They might. They will. They might say something you're not expecting. Man, look at them doing gospel work. Maybe I should check out that church. That's not the piece of it we're in it for, though, right? We are here to do the great ends of the church. They're not little, like, little itsy-bitsy, teeny-weeny, insignificant ends of the church. Gene's going to hate me when I say this, but meeting the budget is the insignificant end of the church. She's going to zap me. Proclaiming the gospel is the great end of the church, right? How far are we willing to go? Are we willing to go down to the road to Gaza? It's a wilderness road. And meet up with this eunuch who works for a foreign government. He's Ethiopian. But he's reading the Bible. And then maybe baptize the character when he says, I want to be baptized. Are we willing to show the world what we believe the kingdom of heaven looks like? Even as imperfectly done as we're going to do it. We pray the Lord's Prayer every week. And I know most of you probably have it on recorded and you just hit the button and it comes out your mouth. Right? Unless you go like to the Methodists and they want to do sins, or you go to the Catholics and they want to do trespasses or something like that. We pray every week, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Our task is to be part of that. To God alone be the glory this day and forevermore. Amen.